The traffic from Marysville there would be absolutely gridlocked.
Disabled committee applicants in the interview we had and so forth. And with all the commotion I had getting over here, I left it on my desk. So if we can do that at the next conference call or something, I'd appreciate it.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's Saturday, April 14th, 2012. This is the second day of the Fish and Wildlife, the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting. We always start Saturday's session with open public input. Has anyone signed up? We've got a lot of items on the agenda, a lot of rule actions, a lot of decisions to make this morning. We have noticed from Commissioner Carpenter that there's a traffic issue. What, in Marysville, you said? A tulip festival or something?
When they have the Skagit Valley Tulip Festival, the I-5 corridor from about Marysville North is gridlock. I mean, it's the most amazing thing for... And when the people from the south come to the north to go see the tulips, many of them have these really exotic cameras and some with tripods, and they will stop right in the middle of a county road. Doesn't matter how many cars are there. It's quite a draw.
There's some swans around. It doubles the time.
Yeah.
So for some of us who have a 6.5 hour drive, regardless, there's not a lot of empathy on your.
Okay, we're going to start hearing the blues here.
That's fair.
Everybody's singing the blues, but the point is that we will make these decisions efficiently.
Yes, ma'am.
It's my responsibility to keep everybody on track and not do what we did yesterday.
And you already gained a half an hour. You already gained 30 minutes.
Yeah. So no one has signed up for open public input. Next item, 13, hunting practices. This is a rule action. Dave Ware, Don Craigie. Do we have any controversial subjects here?
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Again, for the record, my name is Dave Ware. I'm the Game Division Manager for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And also, as part of this presentation, is Don Craigie. He's the Migratory Bird Section Manager for the department. So, quick reminder of the hunting season process. This was a truncated process, so there's not a lot of issues compared to most three-year packages. Of course, we did go through an extensive, relatively extensive public process in terms of scoping and public meetings and taking input. And then, of course, we have taken additional input as part of the commission rulemaking process. And we had the hearing and briefing last month. We have made quite a few amendments, adjustments to the to the seasons, and most of those are in the commission's notebook. Of course, today's decision day. In terms of the public comment, most of those are summarized by WAC within the agency's response, again, part of your notebook, and it did result in quite a few recommended adjustments over the last month. Most of those have been incorporated into your notebooks. However, there will be a few floor amendments today, and so those are part of our recommendation as well. Okay, back to agenda item 13, hunting practices. We've rolled several issues into this agenda item, crossbow rules, baiting of waterfowl, hunting at night, again, which we're no longer recommending, electronic equipment, illuminated knocks and waterfowl decoys. And so the first one I'm going to touch on is the crossbow rules. And this affected two WACs, 047, 232.12.047 and 232.12.054. The intent was mainly to just to recommend or to clean up the language associated with the use of crossbows and clarify what's legal. The biggest changes were the recommendation that we allow scopes and clarify what is a legal crossbow. And as a reminder, crossbows are only allowed for during the modern firearm season in firearm-restricted areas or for hunters with disabilities. Don?
Okay. We've had, well, for the record, my name's Don Crady, Waterfowl Section Manager for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Thank you. As far as the baiting and game birds, this is WAC 232-12-264. And in September 2009, there was a briefing for the commission on the baiting regulations by our Enforcement Division and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service enforcement officers. We brought the issue back in August 2010 with a proposed rule to align our state regulations with federal regulations. That was a commission request. At that time, it was deferred to the three-year season package process, and it went straight to a recommendation. So the current baiting regulations or state regulations are different from the federal law for migratory game birds. And landowners and hunters need more clarity to know what is prohibited between the two sets of regulations. The federal regulations, there's been a campaign to get the word out on those regulations. In our hunting pamphlet, we've had additional information and additional information on the Fish and Wildlife Service website as far as what's legal and what's not. Standardized regulations will allow officers to effectively identify violations and enforce baiting rules. So our recommendation is to modify our current baiting WAC to make the state rules consistent with federal law.
On to electronic equipment. This affects two different...
Commissioner Perry.
If I could make one comment while you're on the baiting issue, I think what you've done is good. Make the state equal to the federal, but I still think it's anything but clear to the average hunter, and I think we need to do some further work on that to clarify so any hunter can look at the regulations and clearly identify where they can hunt and where they can't hunt relative to baiting, and that may extend to big game as well. It just isn't clear to me at all by reading the regulations what is and what isn't. I think this is a step forward, but I think we need to carry it further.
Commissioner Duvia.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm fine with this, but and we have talked about it in the Wildlife Committee, and I think it's definitely on our agenda for the next couple years to figure out an appropriate time to go further on baiting. A couple of the issues that came out related to this that we would consider in that next review process is what actually is bait? How is that defined? And secondly, if we are baiting for deer and a turkey comes in, where are you legally able to shoot and not shoot? It's very difficult for the enforcement people to distinguish what or not what the bait was for. And if you shot him 500 yards from the bait or 50 yards from the bait, which are on the bait, so there's a lot of issues on this thing that we certainly need to dig a little deeper in. So put it on our list of to-dos.
Again, in terms of electronic equipment, it affects two different WACs. One is 232-12-054, and the other one is 232-12-257. And so this, just like the baiting issue, is often referred to as a fair chase or hunter ethics issue. And specifically what we're dealing with in this part of the agenda item is where do we draw the line with electronics? The Game Management Advisory Council again debated this issue and decided that devices that were designed to increase success is where the line should be drawn. But different people have different ideas on where the line should be drawn, certainly. So we have two issues that made it to this point. One is illuminated NOx, and the other one is waterfowl decoys. And so so the issue for illuminated NOx that we've allowed public debate on has been to exempt illuminated NOx from the restrictions on electronic equipment attached to the bow or arrow. Don?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I'm looking at our motion language here on the green sheet. Can you take a look at that? I'm just trying to understand what you've provided us in terms of the specific language to make a decision on that item as well as RoboDucks.
One suggestion that I might make in terms of modifying what's on your green sheet is perhaps you would want to take each WAC separately and take a motion and make a decision on each WAC.
Okay. Because this language looks like it only gives us that choice in relation to RoboDucks.
Right.
Okay, just a quick review. We had a lot of discussion on this at the last meeting, but electronic waterfowl decoys, there's quite a few different versions of those out there, and they have evolved over time, but they are currently prohibited in Oregon, Pennsylvania, Washington, and partially prohibited in Minnesota and California. And we've been debating this issue since 2000 when some of the new versions of the electronic decoys came out. It's mainly a fair chase and hunter ethics issue. There's been a couple papers published on effects of the water of these decoys, and the biggest one was from the U.S. Geological Survey in 2006, and they reviewed spinning wing decoy studies in six locations, and they found that the decoys are strong attractants to ducks and increase kill rates by 2.4 times. That's the average, and the range was 1.3 to 33. Over traditional decoying methods, and the effectiveness it depends on where you are in the flyway and what part of the season it is. They're more effective in the northern parts and earlier in the season. They also are differential effectiveness based on duck species. The population level harvest rate effects are currently unknown. They're still unknown. And then Fish and Wildlife Service put out a paper in 2005, and these are just the summary of the considerations at the end of the paper. But again, the biological impacts are currently uncertain. But the main questions should technology be limited? Is this equipment considered within the bounds of fair chase? And what are the impacts on traditional hunting methods and skills? As far as the hunter opinions, again, a lot of debate, a lot of strong opinions on this on both sides. The Waterfowl Advisory Group voted twice to continue the prohibition and twice to eliminate it. As Dave mentioned, the Game Management Advisory Committee voted to continue the prohibition at the recent meeting. As far as our internet surveys, 46% to 57% favored electronic decoys if seasons are not affected. There is a potential for seasons to be affected. So 29% to 40% oppose, and 11% to 20% favor their use regardless of potential season impacts. The department had to file a change in the language for consideration by the commission, so we did file change to eliminate waterfowl from the list of species, but as Director Anderson mentioned at the last meeting, that's not a department recommendation. We had to do that to get the issue on the table for consideration.
So we take any questions?
Questions? I think we had a good conversation about this at the last meeting in Moses Lake. Any other questions? Commissioner Perry.
Thank you. I guess I just wanted to ask how we're going to handle this. The mention of taking it whack by whack. I know I have some.
Okay, and there. So help us again with the draft motion language, looking at it. Commissioner Jennings?
I think if I can propose a motion, and then we can look at that and see if it'll work.
Okay.
Starting place in my census, we'll have two or three votes over this process.
Okay.
But I move to amend WAC 232-12-047 and 232-12-264 as proposed.
Okay, so there was one that you missed in the middle.
And that's the one with the lighted knock.
Okay, so that's the lighted knock one. Okay, got it. And so that would be the first piece.
The unlawful hunting and the baiting.
Okay. The motion's been made to amend WAC 232-12-047 and 232-12-264 as presented. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
The motion's been seconded by Commissioner Smith. Any further discussion? Commissioner Perry?
I would like to know exactly what we're voting on.
Commissioner Jennings?
Yes, I think we're voting on WAC 047 as unlawful methods for hunting.
And that would eliminate it or authorize it?
That just makes a few adjustments to the crossbow, full strengths and associated things. We have it under handout. It's with the next WAC. And then the second WAC under consideration of 264 is the baiting of game birds.
Okay.
So those two pieces separated out. Then we'll deal with lighted knot, electronic waterfowl decoys.
Thank you.
All right. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries. Okay. So we've got that piece done. Two more. Commissioner Jennings?
I move to amend WAC 232-12-054, excluding the except for intimidated knocks.
The motion's been made to amend WAC 232-12-054, excluding illuminated knocks. So that would allow the use of illuminated knocks. Oh.
Yeah. No, I'm not. The language as proposed would support illuminated knocks. But it also has a few other changes in it. For example, on page 8, it talks about at full draw. And so I'm keeping those changes in, but not the illuminated knock portion.
Okay, so the motion is to not allow illuminated knocks. And we need to make sure that we've got the appropriate language for any changes that would be needed. Do you have the appropriate language for that?
If I might make a recommendation on the amendment language, it would be most clear if we referred to the specific section. So if we were going to eliminate the allowance of illuminated knocks, that's section 1, subsection B, and we would strike the last four words in that section, in that sentence.
What page is that on, Dave?
Page 7.
So would you like me to remake that motion?
Yes, please.
I move to amend WAC 232-12-054, except for section 1B, the last four words, which are except for illuminated knocks.
Does that satisfy our legal counsel that we've gotten it clearly?
Just to be clear, you'd like to delete the underlined words on page 7 in section 1B.
Yes.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
I would second that.
Okay. The motion's been made and seconded. Discussion. Time for discussion. Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I agree with our GMAC advisory group on this one. I think I'm opposed to technology, but our bow and arrows are already technology to death. If we really just are anti-technology, the compound bow is our biggest problem. But as the hunting groups have inputted to us, that the technologies that increase take are ones that we want to focus on. This does not increase the take. It increases the recovery. And I think it offers us a conservation side of it more than a technology advancement for increasing success. And it's also a perennial of significant problems for cattlemen, dairymen, and hay producers that we don't have appropriate removal of broadheads from their fields and from their hay that their animals do digest. I think it's this is one that crowds the area of technology, but I think it's not one that I'm concerned of those that enhances success, which is what the opinion of our stakeholders told us. So I would be opposed to this. I would want to accept lighted NOx.
Commissioner Jennings, I should have asked you to defend your motion to begin with. Sorry.
Thank you. The distinction I see between this and a cross and a compound bow is that this is electronics, and a compound bow isn't. This is putting us on the, as other people we already heard, the slippery slope to if now that we've approved this electronic device for a primitive weapon, how do we stop that? You know, what's the next one? What's the next one? So, and the majority of arrows shot in the field are not recoverable. They won't be found with or without a lighted NOx. So while it might increase a small percent of arrows retrieved, it's not a panacea for lost arrows. So that was my logic. That's my reason for not wanting to adopt the WAC with the lighted NOx.
Commissioner Perry?
Thank you. I would agree with Commissioner Duvier in every respect, but I also think that allowing any electronic devices is going to open the door to others, or at least provide a justification for others. And we have primitive weapons in primitive weapon seasons, and those seasons are set to give those people some advantage, and I think the weapons ought to be kept primitive, and I think this is a step in the wrong direction. I would be against allowing illuminated NOx.
Commissioner Keeney?
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the first slides you put up described this as a ethical question, and I think that is totally why it creates a discussion here. And as I look at the numbers, it appears that archery organizations come and go on this. They're split. They vote one way, they vote another. And you know what I did? I went and talked to my friends that hunt with bows, and they said it's a choice. You know, you don't have to use a lighted NOx. If a hunter ethically doesn't want to use one, they don't have to. If they want to and they think it will improve finding of their arrows, of making sure that they know if they had a hit, why not? You know, so I guess I'm in favor of the lighted NOx from those standpoints. And I think this, you know, continuing on with more and more technology doesn't necessarily have to happen. I mean, that has to come before the commission again, and each issue is separate. And on this one, I think it's an ethical choice of each hunter. If we allow it, they don't all have to use it. So,
others? Commissioner Smith?
Just on the retrieval, I think if you're in a tree stand, it would improve significantly the recovery. But if you're in a ground blind, it probably wouldn't improve because you're going to be under. So it's 50-50 on that. Yeah.
Commissioner Carpenter?
That's a tough one for me. I'm not totally familiar with other than the public testimony that I heard, but I think from a arrow retrieval perspective, I think I could find favor for that. Beyond that, I'm not particularly hard over one way or the other.
Okay. I'm against the use of lighted NOx. I subscribe to Commissioner Perry and Commissioner Jennings' views that this is a slippery slope. That we have to draw the line, it's up to us. And what I worry about the most, I guess, is the way in which this might lead a segment of the population to shoot later, take unwise shots. And I just don't want to be part of encouraging that through the use of technology. I look at hunting as an activity that requires skills, that we should encourage skills, ethics, judgment about taking a shot and encouraging looser shooting at the edge of your abilities is just, I think, a bad thing for us to encourage. I think we ought to be encouraging hunters to take shots where they can retrieve their arrows, meaning closer, where they have a better shot, and hunting not being just about killing, but about the skill and the experience and the judgment and the accomplishment. So I am going to support this motion. Any other comments? Okay. Hearing no further discussion, I think we're going to be divided here, just like all the hunting groups are. It's obviously, you know, there's good arguments on both sides. So all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
1, 2, 3.
4 to 3.
Yep. So the motion is defeated. We'll need another motion. Okay, all you pro Light and Knox people, it's up to you to make the motion. Commissioner Duvia?
If I knew the right whack.
You can just read it.
That's whack 054.
Hang on.
054.
We got to ask 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep. I would suggest that we...
We don't have 5 affirmative votes for defeating this motion.
Or passing.
But we need 5 affirmative votes to adopt a regulation, correct, legal counsel?
Yep.
So even if we make the motion, unless one of us who's opposed to the use of Light and Knox changes votes, we're stuck. Commissioner Duvia?
Madam Chair, and I'm talking more out loud here, maybe it would be appropriate for us, if it's within the system, to we have 2 commissioners not present, and let the defer this back to the Wildlife Committee to bring back up in next year's rule modifications.
What's that, Dave?
The only major issue that if we don't adopt something that would occur is the striking of the word or crossbows on page 8.
And at full draw.
Under yes. 2A. Yes. Those two.
Right.
Would make a difference for folks this fall. You would end up with one whack saying that you could use a scope on a crossbow, and then this whack that says you can't use a scope on a crossbow. And that's probably the biggest change. But the other issue, the other significant issue, is 2A at full draw.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Jennings.
And that's why I like the logic of what Commissioner Duvia said as far as bringing up the Light at Knock next year. But my motion was designed to get those other 2 pieces adopted this year. So if there's an understanding that we'll bring up Light at Knock next year, I'm happy to remake my motion so we can get the other 2 pieces in the WAC, those 2 other WAC changes made.
Okay, so what you're proposing is to make the motion to add...
I would just remake my previous motion, but there's a better understanding now that if we don't pass it, we won't make any of the changes in this WAC. So this is a way to let us make just that those 2 of the 3 changes that have been proposed.
Well, given that I think we need a break because we've already voted. Director Anderson?
So, following Robert's rules of order, this would you would need to make a motion to reconsider previous action.
Okay.
And the only one that can do that is one that was on the prevailing side of the failure, in this case, the failure of the last motion. So it would take one of the four members that were on the prevailing side of the motion to move for reconsideration of that action. So that's the Robert's Rules of Order procedure that we need to be followed. So if one of the four individuals that voted against the motion makes a motion to reconsider, then that brings the matter back before the body, and then you could move from there.
Thank you. Yeah, that sounds right. So, Commissioner Duvia, you were on the prevailing side.
Right. Madam Chair, I would like to bring the motion, reconvene the motion, and it's
reconsider
the motion as presented.
Okay. And I need a second.
You need a second. You'd need to vote in favor of that. Then that would bring it back before the body.
Does it have to be seconded by a prevailer?
Yes. No. Anyone can second.
Seconded by anyone?
I'll second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Keeney. The motion to reconsider is on the table. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say no. Okay. Motion carries. So we are looking at this motion again. We are ready for reconsideration of the motion that we passed.
Sorry.
Dr. Anderson?
So the next step would be to make a motion, whatever that might be, yeah. And then you could take whatever action the body accepts.
Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to amend WAC 232-12-0054 as presented, with the exception of section 1B, the last eliminating the last four words, which are except for illuminated Knox.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. The motion's been made and seconded by Commissioner Caney. Any further discussion? Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I would like to be on record that we will defer this and for our next year's proposal session.
Okay. I think there's general consensus to do that. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say no. Motion carries. Thank you, Director. Haven't used that in a while, so it helps. All right, now we have the last piece is the
decoy.
Electronic waterfowl decoys piece. So we need a motion on that one. No motion. Commissioner Jennings?
I move to reject the amendment to WAC 232-12-57, use of decoys and calls, as presented.
Do I hear a second?
I would second that.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded to
reject
the amendment to WAC 232-12-257, use of decoys and calls, as presented. Commissioner
Kerr? I assume that means we're rejecting the vote on the ability to use those kind of things in the field.
Yeah, rejecting the use of electronic waterfowl decoys.
I just want to make sure that was clear.
Okay. Commissioner Jennings, you want to defend your motion?
Actually, Chuck is much more articulate. Commissioner Perry is much more articulate than I am.
Commissioner Perry?
After the input that we have gotten from the public and from the staff, it seems to me that using electronic decoys does give
an unfair advantage to those who do not use it. There's certainly an increased cost to the recreationists to use this sort of thing. The use of electronic aids in decoys, other things, looks to me like something that substitutes for skill in the field. And I would like to promote more skill of the hunter to be successful in the field, and I don't think this contributes to that at all. And I will say one other thing, the particular slide that's up there right now, and that was shown to us at the last commission meeting, it was actually a video that operated. And to me, that particular setup looked more like a video game than hunting. And to me, that's not hunting at all. And hunting is where you go out and pit your skills against the resource out there and hopefully you're successful. Also, the data that was presented just a little bit ago indicated that success in the field is much higher. There's no indication of whether that's an impact on the population. It's really an unknown. The limits are still the same, but it appears to me that more people would get limits, and therefore it could have an effect on the population. For all those reasons, I would reject the use of electronic decoys.
Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to add on to that, currently we're in a boom cycle with waterfowl. We have large populations. And so the probably doesn't have an effect on season length, but should we have a decrease in duck density, then it may well impact season length. And in fact, when the question was asked, a lot of the support for this was based on the assumption that it would not affect season length, and I'm not sure that's a realistic assumption, which is, again, one reason why I made the motion I did.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to speak to this on a couple of different angles. I've waterfowl hunted my entire life, and I have a caveat about the electronic decoys that we might want to consider, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Waterfowl hunting is 90% based on conditions. If the conditions aren't right, and you're the best hunter in the world, and when I mean the conditions aren't right, the birds aren't flying because of weather, is a normal contributor to being a successful waterfowl hunter or not being a successful waterfowl hunter, and that's true on both sides of the mountains. One of the reasons I bring this up in support of the caveat I'm going to talk about in a minute as it relates to the electronic decoys is that we have a distinct fall off in hunting license sales, and we have a distinct fall off in youngsters doing anything in the outdoors. And if they experience a bit of success with their parents or grandparents or uncles or whatever, that could instill a lifelong desire to be a hunter, be it waterfowl or big game or other things. I happen to believe, in spite of what U.S. Fish and Wildlife says, these in certain days when the weather conditions are marginal, that you could entice ducks closer to your blind. I think there's some truth to that. I also think that you perhaps, with some certainty, can have a higher kill rate on the birds closer to the blind and reduce the flyaway mortality that you can't count because the birds are wounded. And that's all hypothetical. Nobody knows what that ratio is. So my caveat would be that thing that's on the screen, I wouldn't support that. I would support two different types of electronic decoys. One would be a single stand with a single decoy that could be motorized, or one in the water. Beyond that, I can't support it because I've used those and I understand how they work, and I've seen sometimes the ability for them to improve your hunting success. And no one, certainly me, would want to see the population of waterfowl decline to a point of becoming a problem again. But I think we have to do something to try and sell more licenses, get youngsters involved, and I don't think these would be an impediment to the resource.
Other comments? Commissioner Perry?
Madam Chair, I think those comments were right on. And if there was some limit, as Commissioner Carpenter pointed out, maybe allowed one per decoy set or something like that, we get into an enforcement problem and so forth. Or if the use of these things was limited to a certain part of the season, I think as California does, the latter part of the season, it might be a little more acceptable. But general use that might result in something like the picture on the screen, again, I would be strongly against.
Well, if no one else is going to go forward, I'm opposed to the use of electronic waterfowl very strongly, and one of the main reasons is because it puts those who want to rely on their skill at a disadvantage. My husband is one of those duck hunters who would never resort to an electronic decoy, and he would be at a disadvantage. And I don't want to see us adopt every new technology that comes along. We've got to, in my view, draw the line. And electronics is where you can easily draw a bright line. And it's going to be hard if you start allowing some but not others, because there's always going to be new inventions. We'll be in the business of trying to draw fine lines over and over and over again. So I think this is the line right here, electronics, in my view. Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, for myself and your husband that are probably over 60, certainly in my case, we have the option of either using them or not using them. It's not that they're mandatory. It'd be a choice, an individual choice item. And I look at it, I can remember back in the Skagit Delta growing up and hunting with a variety of my family members. And we're just not seeing that with the youth of this state anymore. And I think it's hard for me to grasp the fact that, what is it, 48 other states authorized these, and they haven't seen anything negative, or we haven't heard of anything negative. So I think we have to give some credit to those states who have tried it, and I think we should try it again.
Commissioner Dubia?
I'm, as I mentioned before, against technology improving on some of these things, but in weighing in on this one, I think as we've gone and tried to remove lead from hunting, we've created another negative impact on the wildlife with more crippled, injured birds with the replacement kinds of ammunition we have. This may counteract part of that, enable us to maybe get closer shots and be more effective with non-lead shot. I see that majority of states by far use it. I don't know if that has an economic impact on whether our people hunt as much or hunt here versus going somewhere else. I would like to see at least some restrictions on it. If we did go to it, I don't like the full-scale carnival atmosphere we could have out there on a decoy pond. But it certainly offers some, I think, some help, and I think it would help the youth be more active in it too. So,
Mr. Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just looking at the response to written public input, which is on page 33, and you know, the department looked at it. The question of does it decrease wounding, the data doesn't show that people's behavior is more the issue than how close will the birds get if you don't shoot at them. And it also says that electronic decoy studies have not shown effects on hunter recruitment rates or revenue. So the pluses that I hear you guys saying are make sense or are intuitively obvious, those intuitive assumptions don't seem to be based on data when folks have looked at it. So that's where I'm saying I don't really see that.
Yeah, and I would say, too, that ethics has a lot to do with taking judgment, has a lot to do with taking good shots, taking shots when the ducks are close enough. And And we really need to stress that. And I hear you about our desire to increase participation in the hunting sports. That's a real worry, that we're seeing some level of decline on that front. We do want kids, we don't want the barriers to be too high. However, there's also the ethical fair chase, good judgment side of it, and the way in which hunters who are adopt more primitive methods are disadvantaged is that the ducks are attracted to these areas where the electronic waterfowl are used. And that means there will be fewer ducks available for those who are hunting with primitive methods. Commissioner Carpenter's going to respond.
Location and conditions have a much more determining factor on the success of a hunter than would the contribution of electronic decoys. Where you're located and the weather conditions are the contributing determining factor by 90-some percent on whether you're going to be a successful waterfowl hunter or not, in my opinion.
Let me respond. And I am not a waterfowl hunter myself, but I understand what happens in Willapa, and you have hunters at different areas in Long Beach along the shoreline and on the eastern shoreline. And if the ducks are attracted into your neighbors, the person who's just down the wave hunting, you're at a disadvantage. So it's not just location. Commissioner Smith wanted to.
Go ahead.
He hasn't had a chance yet.
Wait, Brad.
Fire away. thank you. On the issue of crippling, whether it's steel or lead, whether it's electronic decoys or traditionally hand-carved decoy, it's distance. Sky-busting is you will cripple or miss with either lead or steel. And so if you let the birds work, if you know what you're doing, going along with weather and location, but if you let the birds work properly, steel kills. And if you let the birds work properly, you don't need electronics. I mean, that's that.
Commissioner Caney?
I used to duck hunt a lot. And where I duck hunted, there wasn't a lot of other hunters around, and so I would never use an electronic decoy because they wouldn't need them. If the weather was right and the birds were there and you called correctly and you had a nice bed of decoys, you had a limit in a couple hours, you know. And yet I listened to all the arguments, and it depends on who spoke last, which way I'm thinking right now. but I guess I would lean towards Miranda's argument that do we really need it, and where could it lead us? And I keep looking at that picture, and I think, well, that's not what I imagine hunting to be like, but if somebody else wanted to do it, I'd be fine with it, except if there's 15 sets on a body of water, I know that would draw more ducks in than I could with just a call. So I guess I'd be leaning towards the position that Miranda put forward.
Any other? I really appreciate this discussion because I think this probably what has taken place in advisory group meetings too.
Exactly.
Identical.
Exactly.
Year after year, good arguments on both sides, close call. So here we are having the same kind of civil discussion, and that's what we're here for. But the difference is that we decide. We have to be the ones who decide for our state, and what is done in other states is done in other states. We need to set the standards for the state of Washington. Commissioner?
I just want to make one more comment, two-part. The hunting in western Washington is different than the duck hunting in eastern Washington. Skagit Bay, Willapa Bay, fairly small, not totally small, but fairly small geographic areas. And Skagit Bay runs from Laconer down to Stanwood. And there could be 25, 30 boats set up for hunting in that area on a given weekend. I expect it the same way in Willapa, 15 or 20. But in the expanses of eastern Washington, where you're often dealing with the big reservoirs and the smaller bodies of water, people are spread out quite a bit more, and most often, not always, and it's a totally different hunt in eastern Washington than it is in western Washington. In western Washington, you're dependent on 35 mile an hour southeast winds to blow the ducks off the water, so you pray they come over and you can get a shot at them. In eastern Washington, it's quite a little bit of a different sport. But I just want to reiterate one thing, and then I'm done talking about it, is I just go back. Last night we had a discussion over dinner, and I go back to the youth aspect of it. And I'm trying to remember the last time that I saw anyone under 35 hunting. It's bothersome to me. It's the same discussion we've had about fishing in many cases, maybe to a lesser degree. And I don't know that this is the answer to it, but recruiting youngsters into the sports that we monitor and care for and try and nurture is something we got to figure out how to do. And if this is a tool that could help that on a restricted basis, that's why I made the argument.
Commissioner Jennings?
And intuitively, that makes a lot of sense, but in the 47 other states that have adopted it, they haven't found any effect on hunter recruitment rates, based on the literature.
Mr. Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, we're not those other states, David. I mean, in all fairness, and we haven't had them in this state now for 18 years. And our responsibility are for this state and the revenue for this department. And so what the other states have done or not done, maybe leaving no child indoors, it's not working there quite as well as we anticipate it working here. So that's the reason I bring that up.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
I'm done now.
I'll hold it back.
Just kidding. Okay. Lively, exciting discussion. Very good. We've got a motion on the table, and the motion is to reject allowing electronic waterfowl. I think we're ready for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no.
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 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Motion carries. Craig, you can start preparing the press release.
Thank you.
Oh, that was fun. We're scheduled for a break now, but we could keep on moving instead. Since we're so far ahead of schedule, let's just keep on